This time last year, it was one full month, Jimmy, that we had been without sports.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing? And it was a challenge to come up with sports talk shows with that lot going on, but we managed to do it with great guests, including guests like John McClain.
That's right, and he joins us now, as he does almost every Wednesday out of the calendar year. John, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing quite well, and didn't get around to this question last week, but have you decided whether or not the national championship Baylor tattoo is going to go left arm, right arm, perhaps a calf, or is it just going to be full-blown the entire back?
It's going to be where you and Jimmy would not want to see it.
Sick 'em. John, we have seen some teams. Well, first of all, let's start with this. The NFL has revealed its three phases of the offseason, where one, it's primarily virtual. Two, there'll be teams available for on-field work, but that'll be voluntary on a case-by-case individual basis. And then phase three, which would be the traditional build-up to the season or off-season work. What do you think of the plan, and how do you think the Texans will approach it from their point of view?
First of all, if you have a team that has a new coach with a new quarterback, and Texans have a new defensive coordinator, Lovie Smith, who's switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, first time the Texans have used that as their base scheme since 2010. And it's, you can teach things virtually, but as every coach will tell you, it's better to do it on the field. Now, they don't put on pads. All they do is basically walk through. But if you're out there on the field instructing a player, especially a team right now, the Texans have more than – they just signed today – a nobody tight end. They have 36 new players. So if those guys don't even get to introduce themselves except on Zoom, and it was like that for every team in the league last year, but for a team like, say, Carolina, which had Matt Rhule, new coordinators, new system, new quarterback, it's very understandable why a team like that would struggle. Now, the Texans are going to be bad anyway, so we're not going to know the impact. But when you, I've never seen a team sign and trade for as many new players as they have. And we're not even talking about draft choices and undrafted free agents. So if you can't get on the field, or say just 10 of them decide to show up, that defeats the purpose. Now, some people think, okay, they're going to put every protocol in place when they want to go on the field middle of May to middle of June that they had last season. And except now you can, they're going to say, if you've had both your shots, you don't have to be subjected to daily testing. But if you haven't, you have daily testing. They get the results back within an hour, as opposed last year when it was back. If you took it in the morning, you got it late at night, and you knew the next morning before you came in whether you were positive or not. And that system just worked great. And I thought that at the time that, you know, if you look back, yeah, there were players who got COVID-19. There were people that had to be quarantined. They had elevated those practice squads to 16. They were able to pull off a great season. I don't think anybody could look and say, aha, you know, that team, Tampa didn't win. They had the same restrictions as everybody else. So my point is, some people think the players just don't want to work. And another one, they want as much time off as they can get. And then there's a theory floated by Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, who I respect greatly, is that veterans are doing this because if rookies, especially, are new players, it lessens the chances they have of winning jobs. So that means it'd be done selfishly. I have no clue what it is, and I would suspect, like last year, they're going to have Zoom interviews, because in the NFLPA said in its release that that it's as bad now as it was this time last year, which I don't think it is, but that's what they said. And so if they're really concerned about COVID-19 and it's nothing nefarious, then they're certainly not wanting us media types over there around the players, even though most of us will have had two shots. But we'll see how all this plays out. A lot of players want to come in. It's voluntary, but but there's peer pressure. And the only thing that is required in any off-season program is the three-day mandatory mini camp in June, in which everybody's there. And there's a rookie mini camp right after the draft. And think of these rookies. Technically, they're not even in the union yet. And they're under a lot of pressure not to have rookie mini camps other than virtually. And agents have negotiated a lot of workout bonuses. I see workout bonuses of $100,000 to $500,000. And the NFL has a plan to pay them every day, I think $275 for showing up. I wish the Chronicle would pay me $275 a day to show up. And then that would help them not only get their workout bonuses, but they would make more money. So I think this is something that has yet to be determined, and I'm eager to see how it's going to play out.
John, I read where each of the 22 plaintiffs in the civil suits against Deshaun Watson will be identified, and then I saw where Rusty Hardin, Watson's attorney, said that one woman has dropped her civil case. One, is that true? Did somebody drop the case, and was it because she was going to be identified? Do you know?
Everything I know about this case and the legalities, I get in the Chronicle. We have several reporters led by a woman named Samantha Ketterer that does a great job on it. And she said it's 22, now 21. That could mean that the person just didn't want to go through the hassle of her name being used, because the two women that came forward last week, one of whom read her own statement, another one had one of Tony Busby's attorney read her statement. That was very emotional and powerful and disturbing. And based on what I've seen, they've been inundated with people on social media where their businesses are advertised, as you can imagine, the abuse that has been heaped on them. And so, or maybe they reached a settlement. Fact is, nobody knows. But the judges right now have everything in one court. If it goes to a criminal trial, they'll have everything in a separate court. If it's civil trial and there's no settlement reached, it'll be everything will be in a separate court as well. But that can all change. You know, one of the things that fascinates me about this is watching the two attorneys, Tony Busby and Rusty Hardin, both of whom are big-time attorneys, well-known around the country, watching their strategy and their back and forth. And none of it's been surprising when one of them does something, the other one counters. I've likened it to Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, two of the premier heavyweight fighters in history. When they fought, you know, one punches and another one counter punches. So I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And with the draft coming up, I hear a lot of speculation from media people around the country. Well, he still could be traded before the draft. I've not found a team tell me they're interested right now. Everything's put on hold until he has a resolution in his legal situation.
Were you surprised that the Houston Chronicle reporter Aaron Wilson lost his job defending Deshaun Watson on a radio show in Boston?
Well, I have no comment about that.
Okay. Also, regarding Carolina, I read where now they've acquired Sam Darnold, but I also saw that Matt Rhule said that with the number 8 pick, they might take a quarterback. Would that surprise you if the Panthers went in the direction of a quarterback at number 8?
They said, Jimmy, they're going to pick up Sam Darnold's 5th-year option. You do that in May. So just because you're saying it now doesn't mean you're doing it. You know, what would happen if a quarterback they like were still available? I have right now them taking, I can't remember if it's an offensive tackle or a receiver, and then I have Denver taking the 5th quarterback, who is the other 4 I have going first 4 picks. So Carolina, in all likelihood, barring another trade up by another team, might have a shot at one. And say they really like Trey Lance of North Dakota State, but they know after playing one game his junior year last season that he's not ready to be a starter. Well, they get him on a cheap contract, as quarterbacks go, and then they could play Darnold for a season. They could have picked up that 5th-year option. And then maybe next year when he's ready, they trade Darnold to another team. because he's still only 23 years old. That's what's strange. He's going into his fourth year, and he's 23 years old. So I think him working with Joe Brady, who did a tremendous job with Joe Burrow at LSU, and then did a good job with Teddy Bridgewater last year. That Bridgewater's just not a throw-it-down-the-field type anymore. He's kind of a game manager. He's accurate. But he's not, I don't, he's not, obviously not what they want after spending a season with him and giving him a big contract. So it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't use that strategy. It's not like Matt Rhule's under pressure to win this season because he's worried about getting fired. He signed a six-year contract, and owner Dave Tepper's given him total authority and plenty of time to turn around his franchise.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. You can follow his work at TexasSportsNation.com as well as Cron.com. A fantastic follow on Twitter at McClain underscore on underscore NFL. And what do you think of Jadeveon Clowney signing with the Browns? And do you think he'll have an impact on Cleveland?
John, this is his fourth team in 4 years. He hadn't done squat since 2018 when he played really well for the Texans. He had 9 sacks. J.J. Watt had 16 sacks, and they went 11-5. And they lost at home in the wild card round to Indianapolis. And then Bill O'Brien didn't want to deal with him anymore. They didn't want to pay him big money. He wanted $100 million. They wouldn't do it. They offered him like $70. He turned it down, so he traded him to Seattle. And then with Seattle, he played well when he was healthy, but he was hurt a lot. And last year, then he goes to Tennessee, he got hurt, he didn't have any sacks. Clowney's always been a great player against the run, but he's had a lot of trouble staying healthy early in his career with microfracture surgery on his knee, plus subsequent surgeries on his knee. But there was a period of about 3 or 4 years where he was a beast against the run, and he took a lot of pressure off Watt as a pass rusher. He is disruptive, but he's never had double-digit sacks. So I'd like to see Clowney playing opposite Myles Garrett, be able to stay healthy, play the run well for the Browns, and get 5 or 6 or 7 sacks. And he's never going to get $100 million. He's still, I think, 28, but he can still play for a while. And I think the situation he's in right now with Garrett is the second best situation he's had since he played opposite J.J. Watt.
We have a caller, Mark, who's got a question for you, John. Hello, Mark.
Hello. I was wondering if you know when the NFL regular season schedule comes out. I know they usually come out in April, and they have a show on either ESPN or the NFL Network. So I was just wondering if you know when the schedule's coming out for the regular season.
Mark, usually that's right before the draft, and it means it'd have to come out next week, and I haven't heard anything about it. At one point, I heard they might delay it because of the 17th game requires, you know, those games are set, but there's still logistics. So it wouldn't surprise me that if it came out after the draft, people don't want to hear that. And I hope it comes out in April the way it always does because we know who they're going to play. We just don't know when, like the Texans' 17th game will be here against the Carolina Panthers. And people here are like, oh, no, who cares about the Panthers? And I said, I do because I can talk about Matt Rhule being at Baylor. And I'm always looking for a way to talk about Baylor since I don't cover Baylor.
All right, thank you.
Mark, we sure do appreciate it. We've seen Eddie George be named head coach at Tennessee State. Jeff Fisher is going to advise him, serve in advisory capacity. What do you think in terms of the hire as and well as seeing another premier athlete, football player, become a head coach at the college level?
Since Eddie George retired, he has done a lot. He's an actor on Broadway. I've seen him on TV. I've seen him on one of my favorite shows, NCIS Los Angeles, where he was a bad guy getting in a fight with LL Cool J, and he had lines. So I thought maybe Eddie would do more of that because he's done a lot of acting. He's played Hamlet. He's been a broadcaster. I think he'd be a tremendous full-time broadcaster. And I'm not exactly sure how it came about that Tennessee State got interested in him. And I know Jeff Fisher was a big part of all that. Jeff has retired, moved back to Nashville. His son, Brandon, who hasn't coached since Jeff was with the Rams, Brandon, I think, is going to be the defensive coordinator. So I wish Eddie the best. You know, if you're an athlete and, you know, the name Deion Sanders and Eddie George, especially Deion because he's on TV so much, they got instant name recognition. But at some point, you're going to have to produce. And I wish Eddie the very best. He's one of my all-time favorite players. His one season here in Houston, 1996, he's NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then they moved and deprived Houston of another great running back. Would have been right up there behind Earl Campbell, the greatest running back in franchise history.
John, do you think Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in the draft not named Trevor Lawrence? And if so, why?
Jimmy, this time last year, he didn't even know he was going to be a starter. He was having to compete for a starting job. And it's just like Joe Burrow the year before. People knew he was going to have the starting job because they played the bowl game. And when he had transferred in from Ohio State, I think he had 20 touchdown passes. But nobody was talking about him being a high draft choice, much less a first-round pick, much less a Heisman Trophy winner and the first overall pick. So I tell people now, Texans have their number one pick back next year. This year will be the third time in 4 years they have not had it. And if they can trade Deshaun Watson, I'm hoping they can still get a number one pick. But I tell them, you know, keep an eye out to see for the next Zach Wilson and Joe Burrow, because right now there's no Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck. That's a no-brainer top pick. And as far as Zach Wilson, I only go by what I read, what people say. Didn't get to go to the combine and talk to people like I have every other year. But one of the things I love about him, he has a great arm. He's a hard worker. Peter King wrote a thing about him last month about driving from Provo, Utah to L.A. to work with his quarterback coach. 10-hour drive, and he was doing that, I think, once a week. And he's a hard worker. He's smart. And he's got a great arm. But what makes you successful in the NFL is decision-making and accuracy. And a lot of times, scouts get too caught up in size and arm strength. Well, size is not that important anymore. That's been proven to be a misnomer. You don't have to have size, but you got to be accurate, and you got to make good decisions. And that helps. And so I think he's smart enough to do it. I was hoping at one point that the Texans would make a trade for Watson with the Jets, and they'd get Zach Wilson. And the reason is I could call his offensive coordinator at BYU last year, who's Nat Baylor. Give me no chance to write about Baylor.
That's right.
I got all kind of angles.
That's right, including those that we don't want to see. Yeah. But, but John, we always appreciate
Hey, John and Jimmy, thank you very much as always. I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, John.
All right, stay safe. That's John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.